We're talking a lot about the crucifixion. It's a week after Easter we're talking about it. And I started this process about 2 weeks ago, and God has been downloading into me a lot of stuff about the crucifixion that I never thought about before. And one challenge we have with Good Friday is that it's Good Friday's here, and it's gone. We go on to Easter, which is great, or the Resurrection Day, whatever you decide to call it, you know. But there's not much focus on the death. And I want to celebrate Christ's death tonight, because that's important. Now, I grew up Catholic, and there are some things Catholics have challenged with. There are some things Catholics got right. I remember the Catholic Church started, traces roots back to St. Peter. If anybody knew about the crucifixion, it was St. Peter, because he knew what it was like to run away from Christ when he needed him most. Okay, but the Catholics do a lot of communion. The Catholics do confession of sins. And the Catholics do something every Lenten season called the Stations of the Cross. And that's where you actually celebrate what Jesus went through. And you pray over the fact and respect this part of the Bible. A lot of Protestants don't. And then we know the stories and so forth, but they really emphasize on it, okay? Now, you'll find me changing the subjects back and forth, but I guarantee it'll all come together at the end, okay? All right. How many people here remember the movie Patton? George S. Patton, okay? Now, for those of you who don't, George S. Patton was a great World War II general. I'm going to clean it up a little bit because he used colorful language. It's not appropriate for church. But the opening scene has George C. Scott standing up there going, "Nobody ever won a war by dying for his country. He won a war by making the other person die for the other country." Okay? The exception is Jesus. Jesus won the war by dying for his people, dying for anybody who would accept him. He won the war, okay? And I want to show more respect for that, okay? Christ's mission was to go to the cross. Now, the resurrection is great. Don't misunderstand me. And I'm glad that he was resurrected. I'm glad for that miracle. Don't misunderstand me. But his mission was to go to the cross. It's on the cross that he paid for your sins, my sins, everybody's sins. And in doing so, took away all the sickness and all the poverty for anybody to accept him and follow him. Okay so far? All right? Jesus knew his mission. He knew what he had to do. He knew he didn't want to do it. He asked God to take the cup from him. But according to God the Father's will, he would do it. I'm going to challenge everybody here tonight. I want you to think a little bit. Do you really know what your mission is? I'm asking everybody to spend some time. There are big challenges coming up on the earth very quickly. You can see the problems in our own country with what the government is doing. A state is under attack because they want to allow people the right to defend themselves if they have a religious belief that doesn't coincide with somebody else's. I was talking to my sister. She lives in Illinois, and Indiana's right next door. We were talking about that. I said, you know, it's amazing. This one faction, it's not enough that somebody else will do those weddings and things, but they want to force us and force us to do it against our free will. This is a free country. But against our free will, they want us to do something that we don't agree with. And they can get it done somewhere else. They can just say, okay, that's fine. I'll go to somebody. I'll go to some Justice of the Peace who'll do it. And I'll go find a gay florist who'll do my florals for the wedding. But no, they want to crush any business that doesn't support them in any way, shape, or form. I call that slavery. They're trying to enslave us. And it's starting now. Actually, it started a long time ago, but it's really getting into fruition now. Our mission, everybody has a part. And the part may seem small, but there's no small parts. Is there any small part to a car? If a tire doesn't go, the car doesn't go. If the transmission doesn't go, the car doesn't go. If the engine doesn't go, if the starter doesn't go, the car doesn't go. We can go on and on and on. Okay? Let's talk about war a little bit. My wonderful gentleman who served in the military, thank you very much. If the guy's on the ship and he loads the torpedo and the person back home didn't do the torpedo right, the torpedo doesn't go off. We all have important parts. Now let's have a little fun. Let's lighten up a little bit. I don't mean to get too heavy. I ran restaurants for 14 years. Used to love the restaurant business. It was great. Now, who is the most important employee in the restaurant? You walk in there. Is it the cook? Is it the server? Is it the greeter? You ladies like this. No. It's the person that cleans the woman's bathroom. I don't care how good the food is, how good the service, that bathroom's dirty, that woman's not going back in. And I guarantee this, the woman's not going in, the guy's not going in there either. I used to bonus my guys when the bathrooms were really clean, man. You know what I mean? I'll never forget that. But that's true, you know? Okay? So it's all important. So let's focus on what our mission is, what our call is, and whatever it is, we got to do it to the best that we possibly can. Okay? Now, the truth is, it may be something we don't want to do. Jesus did not want to go to the cross. Okay? But he did. I'm not asking everybody to get beat with whips and chains. That's been done already. Okay? But he did it with obedience. We must be obedient. Now, Patton was a great military general. Arguably, the best we had. Arguably, he was one who could outfox and outsmart the Germans every step of the way. But he was a flawed man. He cussed. He beat up a soldier they called a coward. Politically incorrect. Don't we hear that today? Okay. He had no respect for the Russians. He let the world know about it. But he also knew he had a destiny. He knew he had a destiny to do something great in that war, and that's what God had put him on this earth for. And when the Battle of the Bulge came around, he was the one who was ready to go, knew what the Germans were going to do ahead of time, had already sent the orders out to be ready for the counterattack. And because of that, a lot of U.S. and Allied lives were saved. We've all flawed. We've all made mistakes. And Satan will be really good to tell you that you can't do your mission because of mistakes you've made in the past. I don't care what mistakes we've made in the past. Where we are weak, God is strong. Amen? Am I right? Okay. My uncle was in Patton's Third Army. He won the Bronze Star and the Purple Heart at the Battle of the Bulge. And I asked him once, I said, well, did you like Patton? He said, no, I hated him. Really? He said, yeah, but I'd follow him anywhere he wanted to go. I go, why? Because he was going to get this job done quickly. And as far as he was concerned, the faster he got home, the better. Right, guys? Okay. All right. So when time came, he was the right man for the job. We may have some challenges in our lives coming about us. But if we do the mission that God has called us to do, we have our greatest victories. Of those greatest victories, you're really going to rejoice. With those greatest victories comes more faith, too, for the next challenge. Okay? Now remember this, Jesus didn't la-da-da-da-da along and suddenly go to the cross. I don't know when Satan realized he was the Christ, but at some point, Satan did. At some point, he started sending demons to attack him. At some point, things started happening, and he had to go through every single day for X number of years without a sin. Now, Jesus knew the power he had inside of him. He's given all that power to us. Realize that. Grasp it. Take it. This is what he died for. He died so that we could do this and carry on. I'm very challenged by the fact that when the law in Indiana was passed, two CEOs from Apple and from Microsoft, two of the most strongest, powerful companies in the United States, in the world actually, came out against this state for doing that. There wasn't a single Christian company that stood up and rebuked those guys. Why? Because we don't have the power. The CEOs came out and seriously regressed and suggested not doing any business with Indiana. They also came against anybody who would not support the homosexual agenda, and everybody should boycott them. Okay? And there wasn't a single rebuttal to that. Because we don't have a single person in power that had the courage to come out and say, this is wrong. You can't force us to sin. So I don't know what our mission is, what your mission is. I know what mine is. I'm asking you to seriously consider praying about what your mission is. If we get more Christians in the United States and in the world praying for what their mission is and fulfilling their mission, things are going to change. Christ had a mission. He died for it. and that he gave us the power. Okay. Now, I want you to think that, going back to what I was saying before, don't know exactly when Satan knew Jesus was the Christ, don't know exactly all the temptations he went through, but I do know that he never sinned. Now, he stood against in front of Pontius Pilate. Jesus didn't say a word. Some of you have heard this. My theory is that he knew the strength of his words. If he lied and said he was guilty, he would not have been the unblemished lamb to go to the cross. If he would have said he was innocent, the power of his words would have stopped the crucifixion. Okay? Now, just because he was in front of Pontius Pilate and was sentenced, at any point in time, all the way up to Calvary, he could have said the words, "I'm innocent," and stopped it. As they were beating him and scourging him with the flagrums. Now, these are whips, 3, 6, 9, or 12 strands on each one of them, with metal balls and bars with hooks on the end of them, ripping his skin apart. Now, all of us remember the story of Paul and Silas when they were in jail, and the jail cells opened up, and the jailer was going to kill himself, as he went to do it himself first before the Romans got a hold of him. Okay? My Italian ancestors were expert at terror and torture. They did it because they knew that if they did a better job in front of somebody else, the other person wouldn't do something again later on. That was one of their theories. Worked well for 1,000 years. They were very strong. Okay, now, most of us here have seen The Passion. Many never want to see it a second time. That's probably 1 or 2% of what Jesus really went through. Okay? It says he's scourged beyond recognition. Scourging was a terrible thing. The point is, when he fell, he could have said, "That's enough. I quit. I'm innocent. Stop this." When he fell a third time, he could have said it. At any point in time, when he started putting the nails into his wrist and into his feet, he could have stopped it at that point in time. He never did. He loved every one of you and me enough to do all that. And God is asking us, are you going to do your mission for me? Everybody here has a mission, and it's important. I'm encouraging you to spend some time this month and really pray, what is the main thing that I must do? Put that on your top priority list. Now, Jesus said 3 words at the cross that have always impressed me. It is finished. He didn't say it at the resurrection. He said it at the cross. His mission was finished at the cross. The resurrection's icing on the cake. It is finished. I want him to say, "You have finished, and well done, good and faithful servant." I think we all want that. Stand before him, knowing we've given it all. And no matter what Satan throws at us, we have the tools needed. Now, Pastors Joshua and Sarah have found their mission. It's pretty obvious. When you look at what they gave up to do this, it says a lot. They could have had a very comfortable life with the money that Pastor Joshua could have made in the world. Flying here, flying there. But he found his mission. And I am certainly grateful because he's helped me find mine. I went years stumbling along, tripping along, not knowing what my mission was. And if it wasn't for what I've learned here at ABC, I'd probably still be stumbling along and tripping along, not knowing what my mission is. And I'm so grateful to you for that. I thank you. From the bottom of my heart, words cannot express. I wake up every day excited. I know there are challenges coming every day. I know Satan doesn't want me to succeed in my mission. Just like he doesn't want you to succeed in your mission. Now, 2 of the tools that Satan uses are keeping you confused, getting you busy with doing other things. And the other one, the biggest challenge is tomorrow. You can do it tomorrow. I know people have been doing tomorrow for 30 years. And I don't mean this to be a downer talk. I mean it to be encouraging. But I am trying to drive some serious points home because that's what the Lord put in me a couple weeks ago. But the death was a serious thing. And we need to thank Jesus more often for doing that. And we take communion, really appreciate all that he went through for us. I'm just so touched by the fact that my God loved me enough to send his only begotten Son to do this for me. As unworthy as I was, that I've received my forgiveness and received all that he has for me. And just respond with love. We may not be a Patton. We may not be a Lincoln who had a vision to end slavery. For those of you who don't know that story, I'm from Illinois, Lincoln's hometown. He literally saw a slave auction that disgusted him so much he prayed to God to be able to do something about it. Satan didn't want him to do something about it. He had severe medical challenges. He had financial challenges. He had issues after issues. The love of his life died. It goes on and on. But he completed his mission. And I believe when he got to heaven, he got the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But his mission, without hundreds of thousands of Union soldiers behind him, would not have been completed. Well, let's have some fun now. Okay? Everybody, take a few seconds and think, what is it you really want to do for God? And how can you really bless his kingdom? Okay? My mission is to help with the wealth transfer. My mission is to help to make sure that there are other companies out there that when Apple and Microsoft come up against us, say, hey, let's look at the other side here. My mission is to make sure that somebody buys a public broadcasting company that says, there's other part of this story that needs to be told. You guys want to tell them one side. There's another side. And when somebody stands up there and says, you know what, it's unethical for these guys to come against the homosexuals. Say, you know what, it's unethical for you to tell us that we can't support our religion and our God. It's unethical for you to force us into something. And it's really unethical for them to be that way because my Bible says that's an abomination. And I know no other place in the Bible where it talks about an abomination. So you want to talk about ethics? Let's talk about ethics. But we don't have that on our side. Too many Christians just walk around, okay, they said it. We're not together. We're not unified. Satan's done such a good job of getting all the churches fighting against each other that they can't fight against him. You know, when I was in Guatemala, I did a lot of talking about how we didn't like the Soviets very much in World War II. We knew they were trouble. But it was us together with them against Hitler. So we took the advantage of it. Well, I don't care what XYZ church doesn't like. Do they believe in Christ? Yes. Then we should be together. Or at least the issues we believe on. And forget the stuff we don't believe on. That's a discussion for another day. But the churches are fragmented. United we stand, divided we fall. But it starts with us here. As we form a union, as we form together, as we start showing our victories time after time after time over everything that comes against us, be it a back challenge, be it a financial challenge, be it anything at all, your faith grows. And we do not beget small beginnings. A small beginning with God is worth a gazillion apples. Okay? But too often, we're too busy. I'm as guilty of that too. I'm preaching to myself here. I look at Karen, I say, Karen, my day starts at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's 8 o'clock at night. Okay? And that's going to happen for about another 30 days, then I'm done with part of it. But I still have to find my time to spend time with God. So I find it on the drive-in. I have an hour. At 5 o'clock in the morning, between 5 and 6, that's pretty peaceful time. I spend my time praying to God, listening to him, hearing from him. What do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to do today, Lord? Lord, show me, lead me, guide me. Who do I contact today? And he does. But it takes some more dedication. On the way home, I do my affirmations in my car. Okay, got my little clicker there. count them off. I can put in 1,000, 1,500 affirmations every single day in. Okay? Turn off the radio. Give that time to God. And he honors that. He knows I got other things I'm busy at that I can't stop in the middle of my day and just spend an hour praying in tongues. So he honors what I do. I would love, I'm looking forward to the time when I can just sit down and pray. And sit down and praise and worship. And that time's coming soon enough. Because God knows my heart. I'm going to encourage everybody here. What's your mission? You know, Jesus embraced his cross. Knowing all that came with it. The mission will be challenging. Believe me. It's going to be a tough one. Okay? And it may not be the way you want it to be. You know, Judas wanted a military overthrow of the Roman government. And that's why, basically why he turned on Jesus. Okay? And why not? Isn't that what God had done before? When Gideon came down and he overthrew the armies. Samson came in and overthrew the Philistines. Saul and David overthrew the enemies. Joshua overtook the enemies militarily. Okay? He thought, Jesus, this is the great Roman army, that God would come down and do a military overthrow. But Jesus had a different idea. And even though Judas wanted a military overthrow, it was still Jesus that overthrew the Roman Empire. Just a different way than what he wanted. Jesus did it without military. And that takes some courage. It's listening to God. Listening to the Holy Spirit. Spending your time with him. You know, the verse that Karen and I have been working on most lately is Matthew 6. I seek first the kingdom of God. And by doing that, everything else falls into place for me. Okay? All right? So carve out more of your schedule for the Lord. Carve out more of your schedule for the time with him. Turn off the TV. I know a very, very wealthy man doesn't have a TV. He calls it electronic income reducer. He says, when I watch TV, they don't get anything done. They stay up late at night. They're exhausted the next day, you know. I'm not against TV. Don't misunderstand me, but schedule yourself better. I'm encouraging everybody. Yes, Cecil? Prioritize your time. What's the gift God gave us? Time. He gave us time. It's up to us to use it. You get 24 hours every single day. How are you going to use them? How are you going to invest them? You can use it to get further with God. You know, I know a guy who wouldn't go with me to see a multi-billionaire speak because he wanted to watch the Lakers play on TV. Kobe's not going to give you any money. Trust me on that. You know. I love everybody here. I'm looking forward to the testimonies. But from now until the end of April, spend some quiet time with the Lord. Have him really guide you, step you through it. You know, Jesus had no problem walking away from the crowds to spend time with the Father. He didn't let the busyness of the world take him away from the most important thing, was to go to the Father. In Illinois, it was a lot easier. California is a busy place. There are demons of busyness all around this place causing challenges, you know. Every time I get on the freeway, I've got to pray that the lanes are opened up. You know, because you never know what's going to happen out here. In my hometown of Springfield, I'm 50 minutes wherever I want to go. If there's a challenge on one street, I know a way around it, some other way to get there. Here it's different. You get stuck on the 10, you're stuck there. Okay? So one of your priorities before you go in the car is, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that the lanes are open up. There's no accidents or anything to stop me from getting to my destination. I'll be on time for all events in Jesus' name. Especially go to Dominion School. The little things that you can do, knowing the power of your words, pulling it all together. And I want to hear the testimonies. And I want God to say for everybody, you finished. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Amen. All right. Thank you all for your time.
Well, I guess what Pastor James is saying is, if you don't know where you're going, you won't know when you get there. Right? So if you don't know your mission, you won't know if you are living the way God wants you to live. For there is a calling upon each person. God didn't make any junk, except that my wife was telling me where she knew this guy, and his last name was Junk. And in school, when the teacher said that, he just really got upset, you know. God made me and my name is junk, okay? But except for him and his family, God didn't make any junk. So everybody has a calling upon his and her life. And we can choose to go through life and just enjoy it on a day-by-day basis as much as we can have enjoyment in this poor reflection of what God intended for this earth. Or we can say, well, let's find out, let's spend time with God and find out what our mission is, what we are called to do, and when we are called to do it. And I think that's, you know, the best way to go. For in that way, the things we do will have eternal value. And in a very real sense, all of this life, from the day you are born until the day you make a transition, however you make that transition, you know, Enoch took the easy way. He just gave up himself and spent time with God. And God was going out of town, so God took him. Right? So however you make the transition, if we just give up our way and focus on God, this life will be a lot funner, a lot more fun, a lot more enjoyable, and a lot more meaningful eternally. Amen? Amen? So that's what my wife and I believe. That's what the leaders of this church believe. And we believe that God has put us together for the calling upon our lives. And that we're not looking to what's going to happen this week and next week, nor even next year or the year after. All those are trivial. We're looking forward to what's going to happen over the next 1,000 years. And the transition into that 1,000-year period. Remember, Jesus said that the words of God will not pass away. And God told mankind that you have authority and dominion over the earth. Go subdue it. And the Bible says his glory will be all over the earth. And the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek are not going to inherit the earth as things currently are. Today, the powerful in the system of mammon, they run the world. But not for long. Things are going to change dramatically. Dramatically. If you look in Revelation 11, you see two people out of the glorious church. And God says, here's what I want you to do for 3.5 years. And they prophesy for 3.5 years. And if anybody tries to stop them, fire comes out of their mouth and just destroys them. No, I think that's an attention getter. Okay? That's an attention getter. People are thinking, let's dig a hole and hide in it and buy some machine guns and some smoke grenade and some dried food so we can last and outlast and hide from the Antichrist. Let me tell you, the Antichrist is supposed to be hiding from us. Amen? I mean, wouldn't you be hiding from two guys whose mouths are like flamethrowers? Let me tell you, the Antichrist should be hiding from them. And he is. He will be. So let's rise up to the calling of our lives. Let's understand that we are called to be mighty people of dominion. That we already are living in Jubilee. That Jesus is our Jubilee. And he has restored everything the way Adam had it. All we have to do is believe it. Speak it and do it. But Jubilee, the restoration of what was, is nothing compared to the new and better covenant that we have. New and better covenant. So we're restored to what Adam had, which means that you have all authority and dominion over the earth. And your job is to establish your Garden of Eden around you and then spread it across the earth. We have better than that. God walked and talked with Adam. But today God lives inside you and me. We're one step, one big step up in Adam already. And then when Adam sinned, he found out all he had was one opportunity. Sin once and you're gone. But we serve the God of new beginnings and second chances. And every time we fall, we get up, we wash ourselves off with the blood of Jesus, and we start over. And we keep doing it till we get it right. And what is right? Right is doing it God's way. Right is walking in the power and the dominion, not just of the Adamic covenant, which has been restored to us through Jubilee, but also to the new and better covenant, sealed and purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, where we have power and authority in three worlds, where we can have a school called the School of Dominion, where we learn how to take our authority and exercise it, so we can walk as mature adults in the family of the living God. And we fear no person and no thing. And nobody can force you to do anything, because God is in you and God is on you, and you have the Word of God in your mouth. And sickness and disease and demons and devils flee from you. And your God supplies every need that you have. And where He's called you to a vision, He's giving you a provision. And nothing you have wears out, for you are a tither. And He's committed by His Word to defend that which belongs to the tither. Not as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides for you, but as Jehovah Sabaoth, the captain of the armies of heaven. View tithing as a military action. Now, with all that going for us, why would we not want to know what our mission is? We have a mission. The mission is a calling upon your life. For God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good and not evil. Plans to give you hope and an expected end. That's what God wants you. He says, behold, I do a new thing. But before I do them, I tell you. He says, eyes have not seen nor ears heard the things which have entered, which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God, through His Spirit, makes them known to you. What an awesome God. What an awesome love. What an awesome calling. And all we have to do is today spend more time with God than you did yesterday. And every day build up and build up. So your life is built around spending time with God. For in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is the anointing. And the anointing destroys the yoke. And every challenge you have in your life is destroyed by the anointing. The anointing sets you free. Spend time in the anointing. You cannot spend too much time with God. If you spend as much time as Enoch, He'll take you just like He took Enoch. Because God is no respecter of persons. God can't play a favorite. He cannot do for Enoch what He won't do for you. Understand that God can't play favorites. He stopped the sun for Joshua. Joshua wasn't even born again. What do you think He'd do for you? You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Does all things include stopping the sun? Obviously it did to Joshua. Nothing is impossible for you. Just spend time with God. Spend time with God so we know the calling upon your life. So you know your mission, and that becomes engrafted into your heart, and you live for God and the mission, the calling is placed upon your life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a big round of applause. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.